Today's parsha is Ki Tisa. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain and saw the Jewish people worshipping the golden calf, we are told the following. Vayhi kasher karav el hamachaneh, and it was when he came close to the camp. Vayar et ha'egel u'mecholot, and he saw the calf and the circles of dancing. Vayicharaf Moshe, and Moshe became angry. Vayashleich miyadav et haluchot, vayishaber otam tachad ahar. And he threw from his hands the tablets, and he broke them under the mountain. And it says at the end of this verse in the text, when we said vayashleich miyadav, he threw it out of his hands, but actually it's written vayashleich miyado. He threw it out of one hand, as if he only threw one of the luchos down. And so too, when it says vayashleich miyado, or miyadav, et haluchot, luchot is written chaser. It's not written with two vavs, it should be. It's written as if it's not complete, like just part of it was going to be thrown down. What is going on here? How do we understand what is happening? Let us first point out that the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu would break the luchos is one of the most significant ideas in all of Chumash. We know this because the final words of the Torah have reference to this event. We are told, "Bezos habracha, ulechol ayad hachazaka, ulechol amara gadol, asher asa Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael." We refer to the great strong arm and the great awe which Moshe brought to the eyes of all of Israel. What is that referring to? We are told in Rashi the last words, Shinaso libo lishpor haluchot, that he decided himself to destroy the tablets in front of them. And it goes on to say, V'hiskima da'at HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'dato. And in fact, God himself agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu. This was his decision. Shenemar, it says later in the Torah, for Moshe to make new sets of tablets that are like the first ones, Asher Shibarta, that you broke. Because I'll tell us, Asher Shibarta, read Yishar Kochecha Shibarta. Congratulations, Moshe. You should be strong for the fact that you made this decision to break them. Why is it then that this is the final thought with which we leave the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the luchos. And certainly, different explanations are possible. One could say that Moshe Rabbeinu's whole life was focused upon receiving the luchos, and taking those luchos and teaching them to Klal Yisrael with their lessons that were to be gleaned from them. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu, despite the fact this was his entire life's worth, was willing to break those luchos in a statement that it's not about me. It's not about me in terms of my relationship with Hashem. It's about Klal Yisrael. It's about the overall relationship between the world, the community, and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if that relationship cannot be kept whole and complete, then I am not worthy, then I am not looking for my own historical success. That's why, of course, we know Moshe Rabbeinu similarly asked God, after the Jews had worshipped the golden calf, to wipe him out from his book, Mecheni na misifracha, wipe me out of your book. Why? Because I'm only here as a representative for Klal Yisrael, as a shaliach for Ribbono Shel Olam, in order to teach Klal Yisrael to put his Torah into daily living. And if they cannot do that, and they are going to be wiped out, then wipe me out also. So to hear the same thought, Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, that although his whole life he was looking forward to getting those luchos, he would break them if somehow it would alert Klal Yisrael to what they did wrong, and somehow allow a second set of luchos to be given at a later time. Or, One could suggest the view of the Meshech Chochmah as to why this thought should be incorporated in the very last verses of the Torah. The Meshech Chochmah famously says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not break those luchos just out of anger or because they got heavy. He broke them in order to convey a certain message. What was that message? That the Jewish people were here looking for holiness, and they made a golden calf wherein they thought they would find that holiness within this object. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach them, says the Meshech Chochmah, that there is no holiness that is essentially found in any object, even the most holy of objects. Even in the luchos, which were Maaseh Elohim, which were the creation of God Himself, even those luchos only had significance and holiness to them, ascribed to them, if those laws that were written upon them had meaning and could relate to those who were going to observe them. But if those laws were not going to be observed properly, then even those luchos had no significance. There is no essential holiness to any object on this earth, even to the luchos. What counts is how we treat those objects, how we relate to those objects. That's what gives them their kedusha. Not that there are molecules of kedusha running through them, through and through. But I would like to suggest another consideration as to why this was the last thought in the Torah, and we will understand then another perspective that Moshe had in breaking the luchos. There's a medrash that says, in Avos to Rabbi Natan, Perek Bet, Kishinata Moshe Aluchot Biyarad, when Moshe Rabbeinu took the tablets and he went down, Samach Simcha Gedolah, he was overly joyed with bringing down God's law to the Jewish people. Kevan Shirauto Sirchon Shesarchu B'Masya Ego. But once he saw the terrible transgression that was taking place in the example of the worship of the calf, Amar, he said, Heichanino Telahem Aluchot. How can I possibly give them the Luchot? Maskikani Otam Lemitzvot Hamurot Umechaivani Otam Mita Lashamayim. If I do that by giving them these commandments, I am going to be obligating them the death penalty because they are violating these very severe laws. V'im yosifu lachtom yachshav shekein katuv v'hen lo yelachem elohim acherim al panai. And so too, if they will continue in this way, they will all be destroyed. As it says, you shall have no other gods before me in these luchos that I am bringing down. Chazar la'achorav. So Moshe Rabbeinu turned around and he wanted to go back. V'ra'u azikenim. And the elders saw him. V'ratzu acharav. And they chased him to get him to come back. Achaz Moshe v'rashi aluchot. Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed the head of the tablets. V'heimachzu b'roshan. And they also took the head of the tablets. In other words, they were engaged in a tug of war over the luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu pulling one way toward him, the Zakenim pulling toward them. B'chazak kocho shel Moshe yoter mikochan shel shivim Zakenim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, with his strength, bested the 70 elders in getting back the luchos. Nistakel Moshe v'aluchot v'ra'a. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the tablets and he saw Shepara Hakatav Nealihem, that the writing had run off and jumped from them. Amar, he said, Heichani Noten Lahem, how can I give them this to Israel? And aluchot she'ein by mamish, these luchos that have nothing on them anymore. Elechos bahem vashpereim, rather, I will grab them and I will destroy them. And therefore it says that he destroyed them. Let us ask the question, what were the Zekanim trying to accomplish in grabbing the Luchos from Moshe Rabbeinu? What were they trying to do? And I heard from my colleague, Rav Moshe Shulman, in the name of his grandfather, Rav Shulman, the Rav of the Young Israel St. Louis, that he suggested the following. That the Zekanim thought, listen, we understand that we are not worthy of the Luchos of the side of Ben Adam Lamakom. Because here we are worshipping the golden calf, and it says, on that side of the Luchos, you shall worship no other gods before me. But what about the Luach of Ben Adam Lachavero? What about the other Luach, which tells us about our obligations between man and man? At least we are deserving of that Luach, if not the other one as well. So that's what was the argument of the Zekanim, according to Rav Shulman's grandfather. And in fact, we can understand now with this, something Rav Shulman did not say, from the text, as we pointed out earlier. We said that it says, Vayashlech miyadav, he threw them down from his hand, but it's written miyado, that he threw it from his hand. Why does it say miyado? Vatam, says Rav Yisrael Solanter, dine luach echad mealucho tu midvarim shebein adam lamakom. Because some of the commandments, one luach has on it laws between man and God. Valuach hasheni hu midvarim shebein adam lachaveiro. And the second one is between man and his fellow man. B'tchila savar Moshe lashlich rak luach echad. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, when the Zekanim, we'll put it together with that midrash, when the Zekanim were arguing that they should at least be entitled to one of the luchot, Moshe Rabbeinu at first thought maybe he would just throw one luach down, miyado, that's why it's written that way. Because after all, the Cheira Egel is a sin between Adam l'makom. But afterwards, he decided, after thinking it through, that there are no mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro without mitzvahs ben adam l'makom. You cannot separate the two, and therefore he threw them both down. A person who just keeps ben adam l'makom without ben adam l'chaveiro, obviously we have, unfortunately, many people in our society who consider themselves from Jews, and yet they violate laws of the land, or they commit crimes, they wear the yarmulkes when they do it, they're very careful about their ritual, perhaps, commitments, but when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, they are not. And obviously that is not acceptable in the totality of Torah living. And so too, we have people who keep Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, people are very nice people, who really show the greatest sensitivity toward others, but they don't have any concept of Ben Adam L'Makom. They don't have any notion that what they do has to be authorized by God, because otherwise, as we know, you can have all sorts of things happen, be it abortion, be it homosexuality in our time, where you are being kind to others, but you believe that these others, every person should have his own choice, his own lifestyle considerations. And again, this also will not be successful, therefore, in the implementation of Torah. You have to have the totality of Torah if you're going to have any of the Torah. This is explained as well by Rav Aryeh Leib Rubin, the Av Beit Din of Vilkomir, where we pointed out as well in the text that it was written Luchot Chaser, Lamed Chet Taf, and even though it should have been Luchot in the plural with the two Vavs, and again he says it's the same idea, that basically one might have thought, like Moshe was thinking, that it's not the full luchos that you need. You can throw it down just with the partial aspect of the luach. But it's not true. It's only considered to be one entity if it's everything together, the Ben Adam L'Makom and the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. In fact, this view was expressed by Rav Soloveitchik. It can be found in Rabbi Shapiro's work on Pesach and Shavuot. There, in some of the last pages dealing with the Aseret HaDibrot, we are told that when we say, the Rav says, that the Torah was given, the Aseret HaDibrot were given, B'dibor Echad, And when we say that Vayidaber Hashem et kol Elokim et kol adrima eila lemor, that God spoke all of these things saying, it doesn't mean all of these things like He was the authority for all of them and no one else spoke them. It means that all of these things in their entirety, in their totality, are one. They are not just 10 discrete commandments with no relationship one to the other, but the Decalogue, as the Rav puts it, constitutes a primordial entity whose unity and integrity are inherent in the very essence of the system. There are not, to that degree, 10 commandments. There is one commandment that branches out into 10 different aspects. This is a profound idea, we might add, because in the ancient world, it was believed that if you served the gods, if you kept the Ben Adam L'Makom, if you carried out their will, if you did their rituals, so that was sufficient. And that's why you find in idolatrous stories and myths repeatedly that the gods themselves violate the laws of morality. They rape, they steal, they kill, they punish, and they do so without justice because they believe that the main thing is the respect that is had for the gods, not for the respect that is needed for individuals. And again, Rav Soloveitchik emphasizes this point as to why the Luchos have to be one and cannot be separated into different entities. Let us conclude with the following thought. In Rav Shadran's work, Lev Shalom, on this parsha, he asked the following question. He said, how was it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos? After all, you know, it's not like this is glass or something, or formica or whatever, so that you can just break it. This is the Maase Elohim. This is an act of God. Obviously, it had a structure, it had a surface that you could not break. It was the hardest thing of all time if God put His writing upon that particular surface. So how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu could simply break them? Rav Shadran says, quoting Ramban, that it's because as Moshe Rabbeinu came toward the Egel and the area where the people were sinning, that, as it says, Sheparach HaKetav Ata Bevo B'Gvul HaEgel B'Makom HaTuma V'Achet. He suggests, quoting the Ramban, that it's because now the Torah, the Luchos, had been brought into this area of sin and disgust and impurity, that consequently the letters thereby flew off, and then it no longer had its divine status, and Moshe Rabbeinu could break them. I would suggest, relevant to our theme, something else. Namely, that, as we said, the Zakenim were running after Moshe to try to get him to give them at least the Luach Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, if they had violated the laws of Ben Adam L'Makom. And when this happened, so that's when Parach HaKetav, that's when the writing came off and went upward from the Luchos. And that was the indication to Moshe, I would suggest, that he then understood, because all of the writing left the Luchos, that he was not supposed to give one of the Luchos to the people, not even the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, because otherwise the writing would have stayed within that Luach. But by virtue of the fact that it left, that's what taught Moshe Rabbeinu that in fact the entire entity is one, that both set of Luchos, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro and Ben Adam L'Mako, have to be accepted and observed together in their totality for the Torah framework and the Torah lifestyle to have the significance, to have the holiness that it is supposed to have. I think it was Rav Twersky, Rav Avram Twersky, who gives the mashal of a watch. You have a watch, and everything is put together so beautifully, so nicely, and as a result it can tell the time, and even tell the date, and even do more. But if one element of that watch is off, and not connected properly, then everyone sees that it doesn't work. And so too, when it comes to these laws, of Ben Adam L'Makom and Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, if everything is functioning properly, then it is a beautiful masterpiece. And if it's a Talmud Chacham who carries that spirit with him, then everyone recognizes his greatness and his holiness. But if everything seems to be put together, but there are some things that are not properly tied, are not properly connected, then the watch doesn't work. And everyone sees that this is worthless, that this does not accomplish what is supposed to be accomplished. Let us hope that we will always maintain our loyalty to both elements of the Luchos, the Ben Adam Lamakom and the Ben Adam Lachaveiro, for only in so doing will we ensure the coming of the Geula Shleima, Bimheira, Biameinu.